I love it when love is not just for the lucky and the strong. Well, excuse me, I need some water. I was speaking at one church one time and they put vodka in here. I'll let you guess what is in there now. Well, for 35 years, as a priest and a psychotherapist, I've been working deeply with my fellow human beings, often human beings in distress. Now, I really do enjoy helping people, but I'm really curious about the people themselves. What makes them tick? Human beings are beings at extremes. They're either really, really nice, or they're mean little dragons. And it's in all of us. I remember Kubler-Ross saying, "There is a Hitler in everybody." So I've started writing a book, and the book is called Understanding the Human Being. It's a kind of manual for what we're like. I could give it to the space people, and they could read it, and they wouldn't be so confused. It's a kind of arrogant title, I know, but it's magnificent to be me, so I understand. The way I first learned the sort of dark side of human beings was when I spent 2 months in silence. I didn't talk for 2 months except at lunch. And I talked nonstop then. But I spent about 6 hours a day either meditating or praying. And after 2 months, my mind started to slow down. I just didn't think as much, and I relaxed. Now, I would go into lunchtime, and I would meet people, guests from the outside. And what I noticed, or what I perceived, was that everybody was nervous. People seemed to be shaking almost all the time. Their voices were too loud. Their eyes were bugging out of their heads. Everybody was jumpy. And then a friend of mine took me into Atlanta on Monday morning. And as we rode into Atlanta, into the city streets, sidewalks, I noticed that everybody seemed to be running. Everybody looked like something had happened. And I said to my friend, "Something has happened. There's been an explosion or something." He said, "Oh no, it's just Monday morning." Really? It took me about 6 months to get over that perception of people. Now we all look just kind of like Mayberry. You know how Mayberry was? Andy and Barney hanging out at the jail. Aunt Bee brings over an apple pie. Otis the drunk snores softly in his cell. Yet drama always seems ready to assert itself. What is it? Ever since being in that monastery, I have wondered why we're so often afraid. Why fear is our kind of baseline. And I think I have found it. Here it is. We're nervous, anxious, hyper alert, because we're not quite sure if we're loved. That's it. That's why we have that little vanguard of nice people. When you come in to the church, they kind of jump up and down and say, "It's good to see ya." And for a moment, you let your guard down and say, "Well, maybe, just maybe, I could be loved." You see somebody else, and they greet you, and you say, "Yeah, it could be. Yes." And you look down at the spot on your tie, say, "No way, no. I think consciousness is of two kinds. It's either I'm loved, that's one consciousness, or it's the consciousness that says there's something wrong with you or me. Two ways to think. I'm loved, relaxed, easy, not defensive. Or there's something wrong with you. And I bet there's something wrong with me. Tense, scared, watchful. All they see is the spot on my tie. I'm just a spot on reality. I experienced these two consciousnesses last week. It was my wife. Now, we both work full-time. We're both psychotherapists, and sometimes we work on Saturday, depending on the demand. So she's not at home just prettying things up. But I feel really loved when Kathy fixes me dinner. She's extremely neat, and she arranges the food on the plate, kind of the way they do at IHOP. Really neat. So she brings in my food, and she serves it to me in my big blue chair. And she sits on the couch and eats the food that she made for herself. When she hands me the plate, I feel like the grand poopah. I feel like Andy eating Aunt Bee's apple pie. I feel loved. Last Tuesday, Kathy was tired, and when she got home, she told me to fix my own dinner. "Fix it yourself. I work as hard as you do," she said. And I looked at her like my cat when it hasn't been fed. What about the grand poopah? It was like Aunt Bee, instead of bringing a finished steaming apple pie, brought me sugar, flour, a sack of apples, and a recipe. I immediately felt unloved. I went out of my mind. When we're loved, we feel loved. We're in our minds. When we don't feel loved, we go out of our minds. We're crazy. So I thought to myself, "Kathy," notice I thought, I did not say, "Kathy is a lousy wife. All she thinks about is herself. She should go to wifely training classes." Now, I just thought this, as I said. I knew enough not to speak such judgment, because that would make her crazy too. Really? Yes. Judgment makes people crazy. It doesn't correct them. It doesn't fix them. It makes them go insane. I spent the evening crazy, silent, in a snit, nervous, anxious, mad. And when we went to bed, finally, I lay awake for 2 hours, my stomach full of my own cooking, and I finally fell into a fitful sleep. In the morning, Kathy greeted me cheerfully and told me that she loved me. I came back into my right mind. I forgot all about my judgments and kissed her good morning. I felt loved again. I was relaxed, optimistic, and ready to face the day full of clients who, for one reason or another, felt unloved. Now, why do we have such a need for love? What makes us so love sensitive? All the time we have our love radar going. It's not romance radar, it's love radar. Is this a loving place? Are those eyes loving me or judging me? Are they looking at me with love or judgment? Do I look good enough to be loved? Are they smiling? Are they glad to see me? I hope so. Why the obsession with love? Well, it's because most of the time we're not love. Our true being is love. And we decide to be something else. As Anne said in introducing me, she said, I am a psychotherapist. I was a priest. That's a something that I try to be. That's supposed to impress you. The longer I am one of those things, the more impressed you are. That's the height of madness. There was a time when I was a priest. I was over at the school. I was standing in the hall, and this little fourth grader from down the hall calls my name, but he didn't get it right. When I was a priest, I was called Father Tom. You could call me Father, but never Tom. From the other end of the hall, this little boy said, "Father Tommy, how you doing?" A rage rose up within me. I had to nip such insubordination in the bud. So I charged down the hall, and I said to him, "You must never, ever call me by my name alone. No one does that except my mother and my father." And then I stomped away. And I heard that little Eddie burst into tears. And even when I went back to apologize to him, I had to remind him that I was Father Tom. You see what madness I was in the grip of? I was so identified with something else than love that I would break the heart of a little boy. Now, of course, he got over it. He went crazy like the rest of us. He identified with things that weren't him. But every time somebody said to him, "Eddie, just like Mr. Rogers, I like you just for who you are. I don't want you to change ever." That's what they wrote in our high school yearbooks, remember? You're great just the way you are. Don't ever change. And we kind of went, okay, good. That's our true identity. It's love. And when we feel loved and when we feel safe, we're in our right minds. We're sane. We're spiritually sane. We have a Pope now who encourages world sanity. His name is Francis. He lives like his namesake in a simple way. Lives in the guest house, two rooms, old black shoes, eats in the cafeteria. And he was on an airplane last year or the year before, I forget which, and someone asked him a very loaded question. And the loaded question was, what do you think of homosexuals? And the Pope replied in a most surprising way. He said, who am I to judge? And there was a silence that fell over the airplane. There was a relaxation that fell over the world. Finally, the Pope, after 2,000 years, had decided not to judge. And as I said, the whole world relaxed. We felt for a moment that we were loved as a people, as a whole. Last Christmas, the Pope was in his audience, or people had come to have an audience with him. And there was a man in the audience who had tumors all over his body. He looked like a human mushroom. He had mushroom tumors all over him. And people thought of him, I'm sure, as grotesque. And the Pope waded into the audience, and he looked at the man and smiled. He leaned down and embraced him, and he kissed him. It was as if he said again, who am I to judge? And I'm sure that man relaxed, felt safe, felt loved, felt in his right mind and his right heart. Now look around the room. We're a little afraid to look around at the room and make eye contact because our fearful selves say, they might not love me. But I want you to think of yourself. Just say those words to yourself. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? And finally, you find that you don't. You're among friends. You're among family. Your love, their love. It's so simple. It's so true, and it's right now. Now put both feet on the floor. Breathe in love. Breathe out despair. Breathe in compassion. Breathe out judgment. Breathe in gentleness. Breathe out sternness. Breathe in joy. Breathe out despair. Breathe in light. Breathe out darkness. Breathe in sanity. Breathe out judgment. Relax. In the silence, let yourself be loved and know that you are safe. Now gently come back into the room amongst those who love you, who revere you, who support you, who honor you. All of us are very brave to come into the earth, seeking to love, seeking to be loved, always spreading love and safety. We are the light of the world. Together, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world.